May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 728. Strange and mysterious is my life. What opposites I feel within. A stable peace, a constant strife, the rule of grace, the power of sin. Too often I am captive led, yet often triumph in my head. Hymn 728.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from Peter's first epistle, chapters 4 and 5. 1 Peter, chapters 4 and 5. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that she ran not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. For the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. But by Sylvanus, a faithful brother, and to you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Most high, holy, almighty, eternal, O God, with whom we shall have to do, we would bow before thee, before thy feet, in this thy lower house. And would approach that blessed mercy seat, the throne of grace, where thou sitteth and reigneth a king forever, and standing as a high priest, interceding, having made atonement. O Son of God, we would approach thee. Our daysman, our captain, our leader, in the presence of the Father. Blessed Holy Ghost, be in this house this night, in the hearts of each of us, that thy gracious, eternal work of grace may be working in us for our eternal mercy, and that we may know thee. So we would come now, and how we need to come in all our need, tremendous needs. Lord, we come as sinners. We don't want just to say prayers. We don't just want to say we're sinners. O Lord, we are suffering in the flesh for our sins. There's no question. And we shall suffer. But Lord, it is through grace that we will suffer if we are thine. And we do seek that grace at this time, that the living waters of the gospel might flow. Grant thy word, grant thy blessing. May the word of the gospel be made real. May it be our meat. But may we be able to feed on the grace of the Lamb of God and the love of the Father through him and the love of the Son, that we may realize humbly the blessed love of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we do come then, poor and needy as we are, be exalted in our hearts, in our lives. O Lord, grant that we may have the Spirit of the Son of God, that by grace we may be breathing forth as a joint here, while in the body on the earth, while in the flesh. We may, by this tremendous grace, be in the Spirit of the Son of God, who answer not a word in suffering. When he suffered, we would have read in this epistle, he threatened not. May we be like him to commit our course unto thee. O Lord, when he was reviled, he answered not again. Grant that we may have the grace that we have been reading of in all the fiery trials, in all the pathway we're in, in all the humbling we're having to endure, O Lord, and in all the sorrow that we brought on our own head. And may we never blame the Almighty One, the Holy One. Leave us not to a murmuring spirit, a complaining spirit. Leave us not to our own carnal, awful spirits, dead, flat spirits. But we do need stirring up. O thou disregard the prayer of the destitute. It's so painful to be destitute. We don't like it. But thou dost not despise. And may our hearts be opened up to see that thou wast destitute for the church, made destitute, and that we have made thee destitute. I do grant that our hearts may be broken with love and adoration, that we might have an interest in all these sufferings that thou hast endured. So, dear Lord, we ask these great blessings, for they are great blessings, and we so need them. And, Lord, we cannot contain them or keep them. O Lord, we are poor and needy. So look down in compassion. Thou who hast walked thy people's trials, thou hast gone before in the glorious and narrow way to heaven to prepare a place for thy people. Thou who hast tasted death, what it really was. To justify and put away sin, to enter into thy glory. My Lord, with all thy holy blessings for the church, for thy people, drop down in showers these blessings, we pray, and have mercy on us. We may know that our Redeemer liveth for us, and may we know his grace in us. As the Apostle says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Lord, we come to thy house this evening, thou knowest that each of us have come. What a mercy that our way is not hidden from thee when thy people are so tried. Lord, very solemn, if thou lookest on us and seest a reason to have to deal with us severely for untowardness, coldness, indifference, pride, independence. But, O Lord, if thou dost deal with us as a son, it will be a great mercy to us. For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. But, Lord, thou knowest how each of us have come, and may we be found among those who come weeping, confessing, seeking, looking, pleading, beholding. And oh, for the grace of faith to receive, to believe, to reach forth unto those things which are before, even unto thee to press toward. We do seek these blessings. Lord, remember this house of prayer. The friends that gather here, dear friends that bear office, remember them and strengthen them in all their concerns, burdens, and the church. May they remain as one, the congregation as one with them, and add unto them in church and congregation such as shall be saved. Let thy work appear as Moses prayed. Remember thy servants that come and preach. Bless them. Let there be showers of blessing. And what we pray for this house of prayer, we pray for Zion. Remember the friends this night at Black Boys as they meet for reading and prayer. Remember thy servants each, the editors of our denominational magazines, secretaries of our charitable societies, bless them in their labours, those that may not preach again in senior years. Oh, do bless Zion, return in power to us as a group of churches, in the ministry. Let sinners be awakened and quickened. Let the children be fed, thy children, with the living bread, the finest of the wheat. Bless the poor and the destitute. Bless and comfort all that mourn. Those that, Lord, are after thy blessed sealing kiss. Oh, Lord, may there be some in desire of it. And may they by and by receive it. May we know thy embrace. We thank thee for thy supporting hand. That is wonderful. Oh, to feel, to be able to be supported by the word, but oh, to have thy embrace. Remember all in affliction, pain, suffering. Grant forth thy healing hand, my Lord, and sanctify these things. Remember all in senior years near the end. Bless them. Be with them. Remember young people going forth in life. Their many needs. Lord, the things they feel so to need in the journey. Do provide. Open those doors. Show them thy way. Lord, but bless them. Touch their hearts. Bless the dear children, the sweet babes. May they be heirs of glory. Bless the Sabbath school here. Remember thy people then. Remember us in Zion at large, the spiritual Israel through this land and in the earth. Lord, thy people in deprivation, poverty, famine, persecution, war, genocide, make ways of escape. Remember, Lord, thy one church then. Remember us in the nation. Grant us a complete separation from Europe and give our leaders wisdom. Lord, we are in disarray. We have sinned. Undertake for us in England. Raise up deliverers in the land. Raise up those who will blow the trumpet out of Zion. And bless our Queen, our royal house. Have mercy on us when she is gone on the throne. Have mercy on us. And lengthen out our Protestant heritage, Lord. Our civil and religious liberties, freedom to worship. Lord, we do thank thee for thy mercies. They're very great. Oh Lord, where they really are. Only we could have eyes to behold them. But open our eyes to see them. And may they encourage us. Lord, we do acknowledge thy daily mercies, thy provisions, Lord, and those spiritual mercies above all. We have the throne of grace. We have thy word. We have the doors of Zion open. We have a few spiritual friends. But Lord, above all this, and in this and through this, we have thy precious blood to plead as a sinner. As a sinner. For sinners, Lord, thou camest to bleed. And I am a sinner vile indeed. May we be able to also say, Lord, I believe thy grace is free. O magnify that grace in me. So do help us, Lord, to see thy great goodness in the gospel. Thy dying, our great high priest exalted, a living God, a living sacrifice, a living gospel, a living Lord. Oh, do help us. We acknowledge these tremendous mercies and would value them and cleave to them. Now, Lord, what wait we for? Hope is in thee. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. Holy Spirit be due. Great God of heaven, we plead the riches of thy priceless provision to lost man. Ask all things in his name and for his sake. O Son of God, Son of David, Lord Jesus, do come and bless thy word. Come into our lives and hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, come and have compassion on us and bless us. Come, Lord Jesus, come, come, come. I humbly pray. Amen.
Hymn 1042. I need not blush to own that he on whom my hope of heaven is built was crucified on yonder tree, since 'tis his blood that cancels guilt. Hymn 1042.
Complete dependence upon the Lord for needed help. I would draw your attention to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. One Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It's a great mercy to be under God's hand. It's not always comfortable. It is so very often distressing and trying. But it is a wonderful thing to be under God's hand, God's dealings, God's teaching. In the chapter preceding, we have this word, think it not strange, concerning the fiery trial. Fiery trial, which is to try you. Fiery trial. That we naturally draw back from certain words of Scripture, certain sentences, certain meanings, certain sentiments. But Peter speaks with the authority of experience and reality. A greatly favoured of God was Peter, as we realise he was really the leader, if you like, of the disciples. Of course, Christ was their leader, but he was the one that spoke up. He was a natural leader of men, we would suppose. But look how he was humbled. He had such love to the Lord. It's cool with Andrew, with James and John, really, on the Lake of Galilee, but as enrolled beforehand as well. Dear Peter loved his Lord. He had every reason to. But Peter had to be humbled. And he had to suffer afterwards. When the Lord tried him after his resurrection, saying to him, Son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he told him, when he considered John, he said, what is that to thee, follow thou me? That, you know, when you're older, you'll be led in a way you don't want. When you were younger, you went where you would go. But as at the end, another will lead you where you would not go. Prophesying there, Christ, of his martyrdom, entering into glory. Dear Peter so denied his Lord. A wonderful preparation for Pentecost. That's God's way. Now, the church has blessings in store. If you're one of God's peoples, there is blessings ahead. There is salvation, finally, there is blessing ahead. And Christ will become exceedingly more precious. But it is so often through the tribulation that he makes himself known. Look at Jacob. Jacob, who I loved, having to be humbled. And he had to be humbled. And he could do nothing about losing his sons. He was helpless. God saw he could do nothing about it. As much as he may mourn and grieve. But God had blessings in store. And there was a purpose for it. And if you're a son and an heir or a daughter of the Lord, there is a purpose in your life and of the dealings of God with you. There is a purpose. There's a purpose of glory and victory. And that you should know your captain and who he is. But you discover his almighty arm and hand and bounty in the fiery trial, in the long waitings. Dear Joseph, you know, we read in one of the Psalms, I think it's 105 or 106, can't remember which one. His soul entered the iron, or he was laid in iron. The margin is his soul entered the iron. He could not get out of what he was in. And he had to rely entirely upon the Lord. And he had to wait for the Lord. And a little hope comes up with the butler, and nothing happens until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him until Pharaoh called him. The word of the Lord tried him. It was humbling work. And there are many instances in God's word where God's people have to be humbled. And it's under God's mighty hand. And you will not escape that mighty hand. And that's a mercy. Tremendous mercy. But how does one humble themselves? That's the point. We can act humble. We can say, oh, we are humble prayers and are humble this and that and the other. But you know, there'll be a few tears. There'll be some lonely hours. Friend, you can't do it yourself. It's the Holy Ghost that will work it. And there's a very wonderful way that God will work it. In much of our humbling hours, we're like those, the children of Israel, in a desert. The same horizon all round, day in, day out. Have you got the same routine in your life? The same horizon? The same things, the same worries, the same vexations, the same silence of God? And so it goes on and on and on. It's all appointed, you know. God's, the Lord reigneth. And you will be brought to sink onto those everlasting arms. And Paul brings forth the means of deliverance and the patient waiting, the waiting for Christ, the hope in Christ, in the trial, in the humbling, in the waiting. And he brings forth the dear Redeemer, to see and to know he has gone before you. Our faith is so lacking. The Redeemer has gone before the whole of the church in their fiery trials. And we have a most blessed, gracious example given us by Paul. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This mind of Christ in you, he says to the Philippians. who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What he was with, he was one with God from beginning, without beginning. And he'll be so one to the end, without end, when the world ends into eternity. But made himself, oh friend, take the Bible in your desert journey. With no changing horizons and no open doors and no answers to prayers and no helps by the way. Get your little Bible out and look for Jesus in the Word and behold him. May the Holy Spirit lead you. But made himself of no reputation. Friend, if your living soul, a little opening of the preciousness of the sufferings of Christ for you, for the church, will warm your heart, and it will bring forth that gracious humility to be nothing in his hand and to wait for him and to trust him and to believe what he has said and to know his mercy. And you can't humble yourself. But when Christ is made precious, your heart is melted down. Melted down. And you are humbled in your soul. When one begins to see what the dear Redeemer has done. But humbled himself. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Let's dwell here a little bit. Sin accepted. Yet, when he suffered, he was made sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him by imputation. But without sin. Paul speaks to in the Hebrews of in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. All points tempted. Made like unto his brethren. Friend, in the pathway, what do we know of it? Don't you desire it? What is your object of religion? Just to get success? To be floating in clouds, just have nothing but comforts. Christ will be your comfort. If you're a living soul, just to have a glimpse of him, to have an inkling of his love to you. We have this gracious example of the Lord Jesus. But being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. There's our pattern. There's our object. There's our hope. But you can't do it yourself. Think of dear Jacob again. Think of Abraham. He was humbled to wait, you know. Those mighty promises, they were so real to him at times. Other times they seem so gone, so afar off. Let Ishmael live before thee. The affair with Hagar and so forth. Poor Abraham tried. All of grace. But you know, when Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Peter is speaking from merciful experience, gracious experience. How he denied his Lord. He loved him. Friend, can you say tonight like Peter, thou knowest all things, Lord, I'm very tried. And I'm very down. and I'm very worried. Lord, but Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. We love him because he first loved us. Can you say tonight, it's the Lord I want to see. Give me Christ or else I die. I wax, I wane. I'm hot, I'm cold. I'm variable. He changes not. His love does not change. But here we have that gracious example of Christ. Peter being humbled and crushed. Friend, he would ever, as he preached the gospel, remembered his absolute folly and weakness. It would always be before him. But he could speak of the love, the mercy of the Lord turned. He told him what would happen and he turned and looked at him. And friend, Peter wept. But there was forgiveness with him. There was grace, there was gospel. You see, dear friends, no man can humble himself. It's got to be a spiritual humbling. It's got to be a Christ humbling. It's got to be a Christ working in us to humble. It's got to be love to Christ that will humble. I know some people are naturally more humble, outwardly anyway. But this humbling, friend, is when Christ is made precious, to trust him. And there's a mighty hand. You can't get out of what you're in. You know, he saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me not. Withstanding everything, still he loves. It's the mighty hand of God. What is our pathway? God's dealings, the trials, the afflictions, the loneliness, the difficulties, the mistakes, the awfulness of our will, and with some of us very painfully, perhaps some more than others. Oh, my sins. Oh, my sins. Oh, my sins. Oh, my sins. The dying thief said to his companion, well, they were both dying, of course, but the one who was saved, we justly so, the deeds done in the body. But you know, there was humbling there. He submitted. He fell into the Lord's hand. He submitted. He rested on the one beside him by faith. Friend, and faith came forth. Remember me, Lord. We justly suffer. We justly so suffer. We justly suffer. The deeds we've done, this man hath done nothing amiss. And friend, the sweet promise, Christ spoke in bearing that reproach for his sin, crucified. In, you know, what he said was a very blessed thing, being in the same condemnation. Like condemnation. Friend, that's very blessed. Both those thieves were condemned for their sins. Christ was condemned for the church's sins. Like condemnation. Now, that's humbling. That's humbling. To know your Jesus crucified. It's not just a sentiment. It's often said. Hymns are quoted. We want to know the Lord Jesus. Friend, bearing your reproach that you're having to endure. The Lord's dealings with you, you're having to endure. Having to be under the mighty hand of God and not escape it. It's very humbling, but very blessed. The Lord has gone before. Do you believe this night? Oh, may we be given the grace. The Lord has gone before you in the pathway. Ah, but you say, oh, mine's such a desert pathway. I can't believe the Lord went in this way. In all points, tempted like unto his brethren, made like unto his brethren, suffering in the flesh, the hiding of his Father's face. He was the Holy One, remember. But remember, the Son of God has no dimension. He is infinite. He understandeth all things. God's mighty hand on us now. Humble yourselves. God's silence. Christ, in his deity, one with his Father and the Holy Ghost, could never, friend, there could be no abrasion there, ever. But in the humanity, in his soul, in the manhood, made like unto his brethren, oh, why hast thou forsaken me, and so forth? Why thou so far from helping me? Friend, when we utter things like, Lord, why dost thou not help me? Why dost thou not do this? Why dost thou... Or may we be silent. May the sufferings of Christ come close to our hearts. This is not theory, you know. We're the poorer for not knowing some of these mercies. Are you after them? Do you desire them? We're the poorer for not knowing them. Friend, our poverty does not speak for us. It's against us. But the dear Redeemer has entered into our poverty. And that'll open the door. That'll be the way of escape. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. James says a similar word. Humble yourselves under the hand of God, and he shall lift you up. That is the meaning of that exalting in due time. Dear friend, that is a heavenly hope, an answer to prayer, the open door you've needed, the Lord providing in all your care, that patient waiting. James writes, does he not? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You can't escape him. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist this murmuring and complaining. Resist it. It's faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Friend, we can't fight it, but the Lord has fought for us. It's to lay hold on what he's done. It's what he's done for your soul, to believe it and to hold it fast. But he giveth more grace and so forth. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded, and so forth. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Peter says, I think I quoted him in prayer. It seemed to come to me. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He committed his cause to his Father, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He's borne our sins on the tree. The mighty hand of God. Well, I will leave this first part. The exhortation is, in the fiery trial, Christ, having suffered in the flesh, Peter writes, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. They're pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Under the mighty hand of God. What is the trouble tonight? I don't know. The mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Friend, that you might be drawn near. You know, the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The Lord was gone. He was in the sepulchre. There's nothing they could do. When the Lord withdraws, there's nothing we can do. We have got no power to command him to come again. But he hears the cries, the prayers of the destitute, and does not despise them. That he may draw you up, may visit your soul, exalt you, friend, with his blessing, his righteousness, his love, to be one with him. This points also to entering glory. This is not just on earth, when the soul has a little help given. He has gone before, he has prepared a place for you, friend, me, of all people. What a character. What sort of character are you? Are you a bad one? A sinner? Are you useless? Do you feel you've got no grace at all? Do you feel sometimes you're absolutely, totally destitute of it? Well, you can say, well, I believe I had it once, but I don't know where it is now. These things are very real, and they're very true. But you know, if that grace has been tasted, there's a reality. And your soul will sink back into it and go onto those everlasting arms, fall down before him. And the living waters must and will flow again. There's no, friend, you won't get to glory by being religious or being ever so good, being ever so wonderful. Friend, it's humbling to be a sinner. It's very humbling. And it's hard to be a believer being a sinner. It's very hard. Very difficult. You think of the heart sins. You think of the wanderings. You think of the forgetfulness. You think of the deadness of your soul. You think of the love of earthly things. It's hard to be a believer. But the Lord will lift you up to behold him, exalt you with him in his name. But I must come to the second part. And Peter had to do this. Your care. What is your care? Well, there's one thing needful. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled over many things. Now, the Lord said many things. There was one thing at that time, what she was doing, which appears to be so right. And it was right. It wasn't wrong. It wasn't wrong. She loved the Lord. And She must serve him. But what was Mary doing? There was something very blessed the Lord said. She had chosen that good part, better part. She's receiving of me. I'm blessing her. She's so favoured in song. She's not bothered with the pots and the pans. Martha, you can do nothing for me. I value your love and kindness to me, but you come and sit here. Friend, Martha was serving to the needs of the Lord's body. Mary was drinking in his divine love. His divine love. But aren't we Marthas? Careful. Troubled over many things. Many things. And we are. There's no question of it. Because I am as well. Oh, you can't get yourself to the Lord's feet, can you? But there is a path there. And that's a humbling path. Now, your care, your prime care, the Lord said to Martha, but one thing is needful. One thing. Friend, to be found in the Lamb of God, to know his righteousness, to receive his word and his blessing, to receive eternal life working in the soul. Explain it, your cry. Have Christ breathing forth his blessing and his love, which, friend, if it is breathed in, you will know it to be eternal love. When the Lord blesses, it's not a natural love of a man or the power of a man. It's beyond all understanding. When the Lord speaks, friend, there's something different to your soul. It affects you. You have a living hope, a rising up. The Lord is with you. And he brings forth all the train of his righteousness and his goodness and his care and certainties, eternal certainties. If I know anything of it. We don't live there, do we? Have you had a hope? Have you received anything? A token. Friend, it's a great. In this humbling pathway, you're so valuable that we often slight the mercies of God. We say, oh, well, they're not much. I want something more. I want it. Friend, you're wrong to slight what the Lord's done for you in those little tokens. You're so wrong, and I'm wrong. But if the Lord does give you a token and a touch and a blessing, the result will be you'll want to know him more. And you'll want more. And that is a sure mark that he has visited you. But I want to keep to this line. Your care. All these things have got to be left behind. We were saying that earlier. All the worries, concerns, troubles, oppositions, trials. Are you going to leave them behind one day? We're going to. I'm going to. And all those things that you're laying out before the Lord, it's all got to be gone. One thing is needful. The care of your never dying soul. Now your care. Now notice what Peter writes. He says something very wonderful. And he says, casting, which of course one brings to mind the old way of sowing seed, but it is handing over, leaving, a man doesn't cut the old-fashioned way of sowing. He didn't throw his seed on the ground and hang on to it at the same time. It is impossible to do it. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He says, upon upon. And the prophet Isaiah says, the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Now the government is the one that with authority who reigns and has power over us and enacts. And grace is enacted and is upon his shoulder and he reigneth. Upon him. Think of the Lord's burden. Think of the weight of salvation. Think of the weight of our sin. If your sin was weighed upon him, charged upon him, now your care. If Christ, friend, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, if he's put away sin for us, what greater blessing can he do? What greater blessing can he impart? Think of what the Lord has done in dying. Do we know any inclination, have we any understanding, any inclination, any desire, what he's done for us? You think of what he went through. Now, is he not able to bless then? Is he not able to supply your need? Is he not able to bring you safely on? Is he not able to answer your prayer? When he bowed his head and gave up the ghost to redeem. Which is easier to say? Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Or take up thy bed and walk. Casting all your care upon him. He says upon him. The major care of your soul, plus all that you're walking through in this life. Remember the two things the Lord has done for us, for the church. But firstly, as we've said, to redeem us, save us, put away our sins. Suffering in the body and dying and rising. But the other thing he's done is walk the pathway. The pathway you're in. And this is a word of encouragement and mercy. Your care. Your Heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. But there is an asking, and in that asking there's a humbling. In that asking there is a casting of your care and burden upon him. But here Peter says, casting what? All your care, the lot, everything. We often think we are. But I have to painfully discover I'm not quite doing it enough, or not quite as I thought I was. It's only half doing it. And how you long to be able to wholly do it and feel you are doing it. Again, that is the secret of the Lord, is with them that fear him, or to be able to have a sense of the Lord undertaking for you. Oh, to believe and to know all your care upon him. Well, has he not carried the greatest burden for you? And he goes on to say, for he careth for you. You know, it's a tremendous mercy to look back and to realise that the Lord has cared for you. He has cared for you. Can you realise that this night? He has cared for you. And now you're still in tribulation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. Jesus says, all these things, what you need, shall be added unto you. All your care, for he cares for you. Have you had some tokens and encouragements that he has cared for you? You look back and see. Friend, but he cares for you now. Now he is exalted in heaven. He does care for his sheep. They're mine, redeemed, bought with a price, bought with his blood. He does care. And he leads them forth now. Is he leading you forth now? Friend, if you're his, you're in the right way. It's a way of humbling, way of humiliation, way of patience. But he cares, he cares, he cares. What more could Jesus do than die for you, to get you to glory? These cares, friends, the earthly ones, are only for this time. Your soul's cares and needs are eternal, are eternal. All your care, both, upon him. May we know the first one first, and may we have been able to lay passive concerning this life and trust him. If he loves you, friend, he knows what you need. He knows what he's going to do. He knows your future, you don't. He knows the doors that he will open and the doors he will close. And you'll find if he closes one door, there may well be another one open. But there's one other door that's always open. And I am the door. I am the way, the truth. He careth for you. I leave the word now, casting all your care. Now humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, give you a heavenly hope. Lift up your horizon heavenward, where Jesus is, where he reigns in love and compassion. Casting all your care, casting all upon him, him at the throne of grace. Pour out your soul, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And again in Psalm 46, which has been with me much of late, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. That speaks of him nearness, friends. Very present speaks of nearness. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
God willing, Mr. Pack will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Timothy Rosier on Wednesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 967. God of my life, to thee I call, afflicted at thy feet I fall. When the great water floods prevail, leave not my trembling heart to fail. Hymn 967.
Oh,
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.